listening to This Week with Ann Carrick and Vincent Caprio. It's what you're talking about this week.
Unions, business, immigration, how do they all work together? We're going to find out today. It's This Week. I'm Ann Carrick. And Vincent, you need a microphone somewhere near you.
Sorry about that. And Vincent Caprio.
Yes, he is really here. I just didn't want somebody to think he wasn't. You know, before we get on to our main topic, I don't see how we could possibly not comment on the recent tragedy in Tucson with the shootings. Or you look like you don't want to comment.
No, okay. I obviously, it's one of the worst tragedies in American history. And
sadly, not the only time something like this has happened, though.
President Grover Cleveland, President McKinley, President Kennedy.
Well, those were all presidents, but I mean, just in general.
Martin Luther King, Senator Kennedy,
yeah.
Malcolm X, Congressman Ryan, who was the last congressman shot. As you probably are going to see, I can name every politician who's ever been assassinated.
You're not right.
But what's that?
I said you're not quite right, are you?
No. Congressman Ryan was assassinated in 1978. Yeah. He went down to visit Jim Jones, and on the way back from the airport, he was shot.
Right. My point was going to be that everybody's busy talking about the gun laws and all this other stuff, and, you know, I think this is much less about gun laws and a lot more about mental health and how do you balance maintaining people's freedom and liberty when you know they have a mental health problem. I mean, you can't just say, oh, that person's crazy and lock them up. I mean, that's not how it works here. I mean, there's a lot of proof that has to happen. You can't commit somebody against their will very easily. And I think that's really the issue because, you know, somebody who is that upset and has sort of lost touch with reality, you know, they're going to do harm if that's what they're, you know, bent on doing. It doesn't matter what their choice of weapon is going to be.
I do not believe he's insane.
I don't know about insane. Something's wrong, though.
Well, something's wrong, but there was what was wrong with John Hinckley. John Hinckley, who attempted to assassinate President Reagan
yeah.
Who murdered a few other people, was obsessed with Jodie Foster.
I know, that was like the strain. Like, you'd be like, wait a minute, you shot President Reagan because you're obsessed with Jodie Foster? Explain that one for me.
Right. And then if you look at Mark David Chapman, who assassinated John Lennon, these people, none of them really have a political agenda. They're obsessive personalities that are premeditate these assassinations, so
I think somebody referred to them as the lone wolf syndrome,
right.
You know, where they're kind of out there with their own thoughts and beliefs and, you know, and it seems like in every case, once the incident happens, then when they go back and look at it, there's all this cumulative history of all these signs and warnings that the person really had a problem. I mean, in this most recent case in Tucson, you know, the guy was not expelled. He was like suspended from the university he was attending, you know, saying he needed to seek, you know, mental health treatment and come back. And he dropped out instead.
Right.
But, you know, classmates, all these people witnessed behavior that clearly there was a problem. And I think that's really the issue we have is when we see there's a person who has a problem like that, what do you do? Or how can you help that person and protect people from that person without tromping all over their rights as a you know, free living person,
right,
in the United States? You know, there was I mean, they haven't done any. You know, unfortunately, the way our system works is you can't do anything until they do something illegal. Then you can take action. But until that point, all you can do is watch them.
I as a student of history, I found the media's politicization of the situation preposterous, because if you look at whether you look at Charles Whitaker or Richard Speck, these are all these assassins all have the same common thread. And when they didn't look back at history at these other assassins, I was really surprised that politics was even dragged into this.
Yeah.
They're whether it's like I said, Charles Whitaker.
Because some of the people there were political people, you know, elected officials. Like, that's the only reason that politics was pulled in.
But when Congressman Ryan was assassinated, no one dragged, in 1978, no one dragged politics into this. When Squeaky Fromm and the other Manson woman who were on the left, nobody dragged politics. They just said they're nuts.
Well, that's just a difference in how things are covered now.
Right, this was new that people did this. I mean, so, you know, we get to find out that his favorite books were The Communist Manifesto and Mein Kampf. So what does that tell you? It just tells you what he liked to read, and he worshipped skulls.
Yeah.
Right. So, no, I mean, you really wonder, he did have a GED. He did graduate from high school.
We're talking about
the assassin.
Okay. In Tucson.
Yes. Okay. The assassin.
I want to make sure we're still talking about the same person.
Right, yes.
Okay.
And then he went to this, you know, community college where he was asked. He had five incidents. So you wonder, how did he get through high school without anybody wondering,
noticing that there was a problem?
Right. I mean, to me, he doesn't seem like he seems a lot like the students at Columbine who killed and murdered everyone, too. They're loners, they're isolated, they're alienated.
Or they feel like they are. They aren't necessarily isolated, but they feel it.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Yeah.
It's
which is part of the whole thing. Well, but that's what I'm saying. You know, whether it's Virginia Tech or Columbine or Tucson,
thank you,
it's all the same.
Right.
The same pattern where they knew that the Columbine's a little bit different. I think people didn't realize how distraught those kids were, as much as I'm thinking compared to Virginia Tech, and now this thing in Tucson, where in those two cases there were many, many incidences or, you know, indications and formally where it had been written down by therapists or the person had been to a therapist. In other words, it was well identified, and yet legally there was nothing anybody could do, and people are like, well, that's why you have to change the gun laws. And I'm like, if somebody wants a gun, they're going to get a gun. It doesn't matter what the laws are. I mean, you know,
every time
we have a million criminals out there who buy in all the guns they want. It doesn't matter what the laws are.
Yeah, and not to sound cavalier, but you're right, because every time we have an assassination in this country, then people call for more restrictive gun laws. Well, we just need to enforce the gun laws we have. Also, I have to say,
When
the student was in high school, okay, it's too bad a social worker or a school psychiatrist or psychologist didn't drive over to his parents' house, because if you drove over to the parents' house, if you see it on TV, you'd say to yourself, there's something wrong here. So somewhere he fell through the cracks.
But they always do. I mean, in the people who seem to carry out these types of events.
Right.
That's the same thing over and over. There are people who knew there was a problem, and the person falls through the cracks either because legally there's nothing that can be done, or, you know, they tried to do something and it wasn't enough. You know, and then you have to say, like, and at what point is that one therapist? How far are they supposed to carry on with this? You know, visiting somebody's house or talking to their friend. In other words, at what point is, I mean, that'd be great, but that's way beyond the scope of what they're supposed to be doing. So my point is, I think if we want to look at something as a country, we need to look at how do you handle these kind of situations when you have somebody who feels alienated and has isolated themselves emotionally, if not physically, and there are warning signs all over the place, but they haven't done anything illegal that you can prevent them from doing something else. What do you do to prevent another tragedy?
Right. I'll tell you, the being that I have a 13-year-old, the death of Taylor Green, the 9-year-old, that really affected me. And I don't know if you know that Taylor Green, the 9-year-old, was born
on September 11th, 2001. I know.
Right.
I do know
that.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if everyone else out there knows. And actually, she was a subject. She was on the front cover of a book called Children Born on 9/11. To think she came into the world on 9/11 and now
and leaves in such a tragic way.
Yes.
Very interesting, related to all this, that, you know, the Arizona legislature unanimously passed a measure that created a funeral protection zone so that protesters had to stay at least 300 feet away from the funeral. And the reason they did this is, I guess, because there were rumors that that Westboro Baptist Church of Kansas was planning to protest the funeral of the 9-year-old victim. And so the Arizona legislature put that law into place instant presto.
Based
so they couldn't.
On why would they want
to? They protest. They're the same ones who've been protesting
the
at
military funeral.
Yes. And so the Arizona legislature put this in place immediately so that they can't be closer. Which that we could do a whole show on that alone. But let's not. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back and get into our real topics. First, we're going to talk about unions. What's new? What's not new?